You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
With me this week, XV, Rob Springer, Peter AKKK Weebum, and Brian Kilby.
Hey.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I'm alive.
Sweet.
Hanging in there. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I still have all my hair.
You have? Is your hair still long, or did you get it cut?
It's still longish.
How long are we talking?
I need to get it all cut off again.
Are we talking like ponytail long or just kind
of shit? Nobody knows what XV looks like. I've seen a picture of him once and my brain just shut down, so I don't remember.
Last week I thought he was just a bunch of dancing female Starscreams.
He is.
He kind of is, if you think of
it. Yeah, this week I have a nicer new picture.
Well, if you guys really want to put it to thought, Brian and I still have all of our hair.
For the most part.
It's all mine.
Yeah, this is all my hair.
It's not those hookers you keep in the basement.
No.
You're not harvesting their hair.
Not anymore.
That would be crazy.
Put your hair in the basket.
That's be
right.
Silly.
Put the lotion on the skin.
They've been dead for years.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, yes, as always, as you can tell from our opening conversation, this is the video game podcast.
Yes. It's the hooker show.
Absolutely.
We are following hot on the heels of Radio Free Cybertron.
Yeah.
You know it. Where we always stay on topic. Incredibly so. You know what? As always, we have a bevy. And this week, I mean a bevy.
A bevy of bevies.
Of news. And then a discussion topic or two, if you please. So let's get to it. A follow-up to last week's conversation on controllers. The Xbox 360 has come out with a new controller that has a transforming directional pad. It goes from kind of the modern pad to, if you twist it, it turns into a honest-to-goodness four-way directional pad. Gentlemen, do we care about this? Why is this happening?
Yes.
I don't even understand what this is supposed to be.
The D-pad on the 360 controller sucks.
It's pretty terrible.
It sucks.
There's really no way of actually saying, oh, I want to go left. You could be going bottom left or right or whatever it feels like. It's very hard to actually press a button and know that it's going to push to
it,
use
it. It makes
button.
Fighting game. You have to have virtually almost have to have a third party controller to play fighting games.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm, interesting. Speaking of fighting games, here's some news on Mortal Kombat. We get a little bit of news every week on Mortal Kombat. Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade and Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So Mortal Kombat has come out with a new trailer. It's called, officially or unofficially, the Shadows trailer. It's more stylized than what you have seen previously. It's not gameplay. It's literally shadows of the fighters fighting. All fighting to like a really sucky Nickelback-y song. But I digress.
April Fools.
April Fools.
Okay, I hope.
No. I think Mortal Kombat is clearly incredibly American. So it's full of blood and guts and now Nickelback. So even though Nickelback's Canadian, they are incredibly American.
They're ingrained in the American psyche.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, ingrained in the Japanese psyche is Street Fighter. And so for Super Street Fighter 4, the arcade version, there's been two silhouettes on the character select screen that we've kind of seen as the game details have leaked on this. And it looks like there's kind of a rumor now that those two slots will be filled with Yang and Yun, the two twins, the skateboarding rollerblading twins from Street Fighter 3. How's that for dating yourself? So I think the world yawns and kind of says, damn it. But
it's a period.
It looks like that's who it's going to be.
It's an overlooked period of Street Fighter history. They suck, but it's an important part. So
that's fair. And I mean, there's clearly some kind of interest in those characters because they make cameo appearances in the background. So clearly there's somebody over there likes them.
I mean, if Street Fighter Alpha can revisit all of those Street Fighter 1 characters, why can't Street Fighter 4 revisit Street Fighter 3 characters?
That's fair. That's fair.
They're really missing a golden opportunity here. They could have 2010 Ken in it.
In the metal suit.
Yes. And a vanilla ice hairdo.
That would be awesome. God, I have that game right over here. It's awesome.
I do too. It's so good. It's like, fantastic. What does this have? Who am I playing?
On the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 front, looks like we're going to get a Street Fighter 4 character added to the roster, Crimson Viper. Which seems about right. She's a very aerial-based and kind of fanciful fighter, if you will. Very showboaty, but it looks like she's going to be added to the roster. You know, she throws lightning and she kicks fire. Sounds perfect for that game. On the PlayStation Move front, she is pretty. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She's a good character for that game. She fits. On the PS Move front, you know, we've talked a lot about the actual hardware.
Or the PS Yarn. Sorry.
PS Yarn. Yeah, let's talk about box art. Let's geek out to box art. So box art is leaked for the PS Move, and it looks like it's straight from 1988. It's literally, let me describe it because this is not the most visual of media, we have to admit. Let me describe it. So it's got people doing classic PS Move functions, like swinging a sword, you know, swinging a baseball bat or a tennis racket. And it's got the person kind of like airbrushed and slowly morphing into a video game character, literally like something you would see on a Sega Master System box.
Right.
It's retro-tastic.
It's something you'd see on a Sega Master box ripping off the Nintendo Wii.
Yes. Okay, next up is a story for Rob. In fact, Rob suggested this story. Atari is remaking The Haunted House for Wii, and it will be out by Halloween.
That is awesome.
Rob, calm yourself. Calm yourself.
How do you remake that game? I was playing that recently, and I'm like, oh, so, yeah, I'm going from like room to room. So what? Yeah.
Mazes, keys, you know, spooky setups. Good for a download title.
So I heard recently that they remade Mad Dog McCree for the Wii.
Why?
I don't know, but I was told that it's the same exact game as the one that was on the Genesis or the CD. So maybe this is the same thing. They just basically port. It's like a port. I mean, that's a month. That's 2 months from now. How can you make a game that fast?
That's true. When we haven't heard a thing about it.
Exactly. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's just a port.
No. No, because that original game was made of sticks.
They'll probably delay it. They'll be out by Thanksgiving.
Which is yeah, it'll be Christmas. Did we say Halloween? Easter.
They're going to pull a Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors. It's Halloween, but guys, wait till like November, okay?
Pretty much.
The next story is for JD. JD is in absentia. God knows where he is. But actually, I know where he is. He's doing cartwheels in his front lawn because StarCraft II has sold 3 million copies. Wow. So congratulations, JD. This one's for you. On the iPad front, and we'll get to Apple later in the show. But here's a little Apple tidbit. For the iPad, Rockstar has announced a new version of Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars. It's going to be an HD title optimized for the iPad, so no sized up graphics or anything like that. It'll be native to the iPad. Be $10, and increasingly you see games like this ported over. As a side note, I got R-Type for my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I was actually playing Grand Theft Auto 2 on the iPad a few weeks ago. I had a lot of fun. I never actually played the game before. So I was actually surprised how playable it was on the iPad. It's nowhere near as complicated as like Chinatown Wars, so I'm kind of interested in seeing how that works. They'll have to dumb it down, but older games work really well on the iPad. How does R-Type work?
Well, I mean, you know, because of the touchscreen,
You move it around with your finger.
You move it around with your finger and you tap to shoot. It's okay. Yeah. The only problem is sometimes, understandably, your finger blocks, you know, the blocks important things. It doesn't happen enough to like kill the gameplay, but that is like the one catch with it.
And the fact that you have to do it on the iPhone, so.
Yes. That's probably a more expensive catch. Let's see what else we have here. Let's jump ahead to a little bit of Arkham City. Arkham City is a little more than a year away, more or less. We don't know a whole lot about it. Other than Mark Hamill has again claimed this is going to be his last hurrah as the Joker. We'll see about that. But we
I don't know why.
Keep on dreaming, buddy. Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
You know you want to eat.
Absolutely. And you know, like, hey, it's like Leonard Nimoy and Spock. Like, there's no shame in like a solid paycheck.
Unless Mark Hamill has like billions of dollars in gambling debt, I don't think eating is an issue with him. I really don't think he has to worry about money. So
that's true.
That's
true. He might want to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he sees like a fanboy mailing him a picture of the Joker, like a headshot to sign, yeah, he probably takes a drink.
Oh, yeah, they draw this
red in his heart, you know.
Keep drawing pictures of them all.
So like I said, Arkham City details are scarce. It's a year away, but we do know now. It seems like multiplayer is almost certainly going to be a part of the game. We don't know exactly what kind of multiplayer. You know, whether it's going to be like deathmatch versus, or if it's going to be a co-op mode with Catwoman or Robin, but somehow multiplayer is going to work into that game. Interesting. Arkham City seems to be following the stereotypical idea that a sequel has to be bigger, better, twice as much of everything as the original game. I don't know if that's going to work out. I don't know if it's going to turn Arkham Asylum into kind of a big giant mess, but we'll see.
It should. I want it to be a big giant mess. Yeah, I think that would be good.
It's a fun mess, but yeah, it certainly seems like it's going to be just like this. This game busting at the seams with ideas.
You know, they could take the old game Bump and Jump and make the car into like the Batmobile and call it Arkham City, and I would play it. That would actually make me more likely to play it than if it was actually this big, long, drawn out mess like Arkham Asylum. Not that this game's bad, it's just not my thing.
So I've played like half of Arkham Asylum.
Why?
Well, I mean, just time. So time and in full honesty, I've gotten kind of into trying to be competitive in Street Fighter IV, Super Street Fighter IV, so that takes up a lot of time.
It took me a good like 6-7 months to beat Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, time, buddy.
But I'm slow.
So in short, I take it based on Brian's reaction, like the whole of Arkham Asylum lives up to the hype that it really is like an awesome game throughout.
What I played seemed awesome. It's just again, not my type of game.
You can play Bison in this one, right?
You can play the bosses, the four bosses.
I played through the whole game, and it is definitely a really good game.
I mean, everybody almost universally, if not praises it, says you should play it.
To see if you like it. Most definitely.
Absolutely. Let's skip ahead. Just a few more before we get to the big meaty topic. We like to keep New Soundwave kind of tight around here. And all props to my producer, Peter. Peter selects some of the finest stories from all over the world. Sometimes we won't get to a couple, but that's okay. We sacrifice. We trim the fat. We keep it lean. We keep it high quality ground chuck around here. You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha. Games are coming out.
Absolutely. Buy them all.
There we go.
So Epic Mickey is one that I think a lot of us are going to get into.
Yes.
Or at least kick the tires on. So we've gotten some details on the fancy schmancy, extra expensive collector's edition to Epic Mickey for the Wii, and it comes with, I guess one of the more interesting things is it comes with a skin for your Wiimote, and it's quite a nice skin, actually. In fact, Epic Mickey is looking like it's going to be one of the best looking games stylistically that we've seen in a while.
That's what the Wii has to do, though. It has to make stylistically good-looking games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it can't make, like, technically brilliant, nice-looking games.
No, it cannot make realistic-looking games.
No.
It's more of like a fantastical type.
But, you know, the thing is, I like that better because, you know, it's anybody can put, like, texture maps together to make this realistic-looking. Not anybody, but you know what I mean. There's, like, no art to it, where, you know, it's kind of like an impressionist, it's kind of like an impressionist painting, the Wii is, because the palette, the power, it's not all there. And what they're able to do with it's pretty amazing considering, like Rob says, it's two GameCubes duct taped together.
Which, you know, I kind of prefer the stylish stuff, too, over the fact that, you know, how many World War II games can I play where the soldiers look a little better at this time?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, let me get. Yeah. Oh, look, they're cell shaded soldiers. Oh, neat.
Yeah. What was that game 13 that came out about cell shaded spies? It had David Duchovny in it. Was that the game?
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
Man, what a callback there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know what? Tangent here. And this is something that actually speaks to both new Soundwave viewers, listeners, what have you, and RFC viewers, listeners, what have you. If you can tolerate the snarkiness and kind of appreciate the humor in it, if you go to escapistmagazine.com and look for the reviews that are by Zero Punctuation, they did one for War for Cybertron. And so, to be honest, okay, so in short, it's a British guy who does like these really quick 5-minute animated quote unquote reviews of games. They're more of like roasts, you know, and he kind of like rips them to shreds, but he does it in a humorous way. If you want to hear kind of a funny take on War for Cybertron, go to escapistmagazine.com and look for Zero Punctuation Reviews. Just saying. After the show, if you're listening live, too, don't leave us yet. Okay, last story before we get into the topic for this week. It looks like Xbox Live prices are going up by, for the love of God, a dollar starting in November. Currently, you pay anywhere from $7.99 to $49.99.
Yeah.
It's going up
actually
a couple bucks.
I get it for free.
From $10 to $60. Okay, as a PS... All right, so here's a question. Here's a quick question. I'm a PS3 guy. I'm one of the five out there, right? So I'm not quite used to such a not free model, put it that way. So I'm not used to, like, seeing any price, let alone, you know, $10 here, $60 there. Is it really something that you, like, just stop noticing after a while with the Xbox?
I don't pay anything for it, so I'm good for right now.
What you can do is, this is what I do. I purchase, I have one of them here, these cards, these Xbox Live Gold membership cards. And sometimes you get some pretty dang good sales. I'm on my second 13-month Xbox Live card. And instead of spending the $80 a month if you paid month to month with a credit card, I bought them for $40. They'll have them on sale on like buy.com or amazon.com or something like that.
I guess you
can buy these subscriptions for a severely discounted price.
I got the last one for free from an employee at Microsoft. So
yeah. So you can get it for a severely discounted price. And you don't even have to pay month to month. Some people I know, they just pay month to month and they just let it go. Because it's like, if you break it down to, I mean, if you look at that file, you break it down starting even the 12-month, right? For $60, that's not that much, right, per month. That's $5 a month, which is nothing. Which is, like, that's pocket change, you know? For being able to play these games unlimited.
Yeah, I guess so. When you break it down like that, it sounds less bad. It certainly is, see, honestly, here, like,
here's the thing.
A shock.
Us Xbox users, see, we're used to two things. One, we're used to the 360 or Xbox Live being the best game internet model in console gaming. it's debatable now. But, you know, back in the day, it was all, oh, haha, Xbox Live is so much better than, you know, whatever PlayStation is offering. And really it was, especially for the PS2. We're also used to having all these things available to us as Xbox Live Gold members that, you know, oh, I love streaming Netflix. I just have to have an Xbox Live Gold membership. You know, where are the PS3?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. Wii doesn't matter. But, you know, we're sort of programmed to think, well, Xbox Live Gold equals good. And I still do. Even though, you know, 6 months, a year ago, I would have thought, yeah, it's obviously better. It's a better model. But, I mean, PlayStation's going that model, isn't it? Sony is going to be charging eventually, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they'll yeah, eventually. Yeah. And if not, and the thing is, like, if not the hardware maker, the software makers are going to start charging.
Yeah.
Somehow for stuff. For online play. So, well, you know, in the end, we're all going to be screwed anyway.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. They're going to milk you one way or another.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay, so moving on to our topic. This one, stay with me here, folks. So today, Steve Jobs announced the new iPod Touch, among a few other things. The thing about it that caught probably gamers' attentions was that his claim was that the iPod is the number one portable game player in the world, and that the iPod Touch outsells Nintendo and Sony portables combined. It's got over 50% market share for the portable gaming the portable gaming worldwide market. It's got over 1.5 billion games and entertainment downloads so far, just for the iPod Touch. And now coming out with the new iPod Touch is a new app called the Game Center app, which serves as a multiplayer game facilitator of sorts. It's kind of like Xbox Live, kind of like PlayStation Network. It's definitely kind of their Trojan horse, their gateway into multiplayer online game playing. Now, so here's the question. Is that a fair statement
no,
by him?
Not at all.
Is this still apples and oranges?
Given that logic, the PC is the number one portable gaming console in the world because the PC how many laptops?
Has solitaire on it.
How many laptops are there out there?
Yeah.
Netbooks and everything. There's no way. I mean, that logic doesn't work. It's not a gaming console. It's not a dedicated gaming device, which is obviously what we're counting. How many cell phones out there have Snake? You know, like old Nokia phones or whatever, they've been sitting around forever. I mean, just doesn't make sense. This doesn't hold water.
I think at this point, Steve Jobs honestly is believing his own hype. They think that he can say it and somebody will believe him.
Of course he believes his own hype. He's Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame him. If someone's patting you on the back and telling you you're right all the time, you're going to believe it. But, okay, I just looked up some sales figures. One, he's adding up iPod sales altogether. I'm sorry, I can't play games on my shuffle, but he's adding those numbers in.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. As of, what was this, February 12th, April something, whatever, April 22nd, 2009, iPod Touch and iPhone sales passed 37 million. How many DSs sold this year alone? And then you add Sony into it? There's a... In 08, there was 100 million DSs sold. In 08.
Yeah, this...
That's a fast catch-up, if it's... You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, the logic isn't sound. I'm sorry, Steve, but you're wrong. There you go.
Now this is actually stemming from... It's what's got me worked up is that it's stemming from a conversation that I had with a coworker today about this exact topic. It was... The iPod Touch is the number one portable game player in the world. But just because you buy an iPod Touch does not necessarily mean you buy it for the game. You play games.
I don't know anyone that really plays games on the iPod Touch.
Right. And it's also you're going towards two different markets. You're comparing apples to oranges because a person, when they buy an iPod Touch, now my coworker said that you can't really consider the iPod Touch a one-trick pony anymore. It's like it can do many things now. That's fine. But it is targeting a person who, when they first think of, I want a music player, they think of iPod, right? That's synonymous right now, nowadays with an actual MP3 player. So they're saying, oh, and then I can download these random fart apps and I'm going to buy an iPod Touch. So while a person who buys a Nintendo DS or, God forbid, a PSP, they are not...
I don't have a PSP.
Well,
yeah, I got one.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like...
mildly offended.
Only mildly. I mean, I wouldn't have bought one if I didn't already have games for it.
So what I'm just thinking is these people that buy DS or a PSP aren't saying, I want a music player. I'm going to buy this DS or I'm going to buy this PSP. That's not their main focus. And his argument was, well, PSP can play music, or DS, you can take pictures. But that's not...
It's secondary.
That's not, yeah, that's a secondary right. function. It's not... You know, that when somebody thinks of a DS, they don't think, I can play music on this thing. It's going to be great.
Not a thing
no,
of Pokemon.
They think, I can play Sudoku on this.
Yeah,
yeah, you're thinking, I can play Brain Age, or I can throw a Frisbee with a fake dog.
I was a little late on there, sorry.
I just don't believe that the iPod or iPhone or anything like that is considered... You can't consider that a gaming platform because
You can consider it a gaming platform, but you can't consider it a pure gaming platform.
Right.
It's an all-in-one multimedia device. I mean, it's not.
Right.
It's just not the same thing.
Hence my apples to oranges thought, because it's...
Or apples to Nintendo's.
Different. Yeah, they're completely different audiences. It's not the same.
Let's also throw in the pure logic loophole here. And this is business and logic. How long ago were you able to start buying games for your iPod? 2-3 years ago? How many billion games did he just say is available for it? How does that work?
The development for iPod and iTouch is like quick.
Well, here's where the logic loophole goes. How many of those games are emulators, not games that are sold, is he counting? As opposed to Nintendo, who's only going to count legal products sitting in stores.
That's true.
That's the logic loophole. It's like, there's billions of things available. Okay, throw up a random number and see if I count it first.
And 10 of them are ripoffs of Frogger.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, how many of these are freeware games?
How many
packs of Frogger?
How many Scribblenauts do you have on the iPhone and iTouch? How many Dragon Quest IX do you have on iPhone and iTouch?
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have any. Sorry. You know, you can read Wikipedia about Scribblenauts and such, but you can't do anything else. You can't. You can game, but... I don't consider... I really can't think of any game for the iPhone or iTouch that I consider a true serious game. It's like the dregs of casual gaming.
Well,
right. It goes back to our conversation we've had a few times, actually. Is Fruit Ninja and Doodle Jump comparable to, you know, the current Mario game? It's not.
No.
It's just not.
Well, it's like they're like games. Okay.
And
for $5, I can buy Sonic the Hedgehog for my iPod. For $5, I can get the entire Sonic series games for my DS.
Yeah.
Well, where's the line of distinction drawn here? I mean, do we want to do multi-packs? Because then...
What I think is that... You're right. I just thought about the... when you buy a game on an iPod, it's $1 or $2. And it's not exactly the... most you can't get as much gaming out of that game. You buy a $20-$30 DS or PSP game, you play for significantly longer, and it's much more engaging game than just saying, I'm standing in the line at the DMV and this is going to take 10 years, I'm going to play this game.
Yeah.
It's not the same experience.
The only way I'm drawing a realistic conclusion to how he's drawing these numbers is by saying, okay, these games cost $1 a piece. We sold $1 billion last year. Hey.
Yeah.
It's like, great. A DS or PSP game costs $30. And they sold how many last year? I'm pretty sure there's a bigger product profit margin there than in sales of U2 singles.
You think so?
At this point.
You think a 10-year-old Zong that doesn't really cost them anything to host or press onto a CD, you think there's a lower margin on that than a copy of Dragon Quest IX or something that, you know, they worked, how many teams of people worked 3 or 4 years to build?
Yeah, because pirating music is that easy.
Pirating games is that easy, too.
Yeah, but not as many 9-year-olds know how to do it.
Yeah.
Or not as many grandmas. Well, we'll get him a game. You know, someone's like, I'm going to get... Hey, Billy, don't you know how to get music for free?
I'm going to go get my R4 card, and I'm going to put it into my DS.
And then you upgrade your DS. It doesn't work.
We had two good Brian characters tonight.
Yeah.
We need to have funny Brian characters every week.
No.
We do. I like old lady Brian. She needs to show up more. She needs to show up here.
She loves video games. That's for certain.
Even your grandma knows already, hey, can't you download music? I mean, you're like, listen to all that crap on the news.
Actually, there's this crazy old woman who listens to the radio station that I work at, and she calls me every week and asks me to run off the music that we're playing for her to put it on tape. And I say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have no way of doing that. It doesn't work that way. It's digital.
What's that?
Yeah.
Just get her as angry as possible, just being like, I don't know what a tape is.
She's like 100 years old. I mean, you know, I can tell her anything. I can tell her my name is Frank and that I'm from the moon, and she would agree. But I mean, like, you know, I'm sorry, this is digital. We have no way of running that off for you. Have a nice
I'm sorry,
day.
Ma'am. They're actually playing.
Bag of bones, and then you hang up.
No. If they're playing in the room, she wants to talk to them. She'll call in. She'll call, is the person on there, are they live, or are they on tape?
As you, I expect you to already go, okay, hang on a second. Hello?
I have not considered doing that, but I think I will next week.
Hello? I am the lead singer of Heaven Reaches His Hands. How are you?
I just hope she doesn't listen to...
No, she doesn't.
You sound wave.
I don't think she has a computer or know what one is. So
it'd blow her mind.
Otherwise, like, she'd be able to get the music herself and run it off the tape.
Yeah.
I love that part in your song where you say, raise your hands into the air if you're into prayer. Me too.
Doesn't she just have a boombox that she can put a tape
She's
in
She's walking down the street with it.
Yeah.
Apparently people who I work with have given her free tapes in the past. And admittedly, we have this ginormous tub full of tapes that we've collected over the years that we're not doing anything with. So I think she just wants free tapes.
You could send her Prince's Bat Dance or something.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
You know, so I can't think of a better way to wrap up the show than with that story. And especially old lady Brian. So on behalf of our dear old lady Brian and Brian Kilby and Peter and Rob and XV, I am John DeLuna. Hey, as I remind you every week, do stop by tfradio.net and peruse our fine, fine array of Case Fresh Minty podcasts. We have RFC, the Mothership show. We have New Soundwave, which you're listening to right now. Superhero Time with our awesome, multi-talented XV hosting.
Yeah, it really is awesome. If you don't listen to it, you should. You won't get it, but it's still awesome.
You won't get it, but when you do get it, you may need medication, but you'll also be a happier and better person.
You won't get it, but it's at least kind of entertaining.
Your mom gets it.
And she's kind of entertaining.
It's kind of entertaining.
That's just a little preview of Superhero Time.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Outside the Cage, our MMA show.
Which is coming back.
Which is going to make, it's massive comeback. It's not down for the count. No, it's coming back.
If you actually listen, if you're one of the like 80 or 90 people who listen to that show, sorry, Gabe. Gabe has been off to sea for an extended period. He's actually a sailor, so that's not like a euphemism. And he's coming back, and we're going to start recording again.
I thought it was a euphemism because he was a sailor.
I'm hoping to break triple digits on that show.
Dream big, buddy. Dream big. And then finally, RFC Throwback, made with real geeks, real cane sugar, all that good stuff. All of that and more, not much more, but all of that is at tfradio.net. For New Soundwave this week, I'm John DeLuna. We will see you next week.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett,
and Brian Kilbane. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.